cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
For the past few weeks, getting into our systematic theology time of meeting services, and we started out with the study of bibliology, which is the study of the Word of God. And last Sunday we looked at the authority of the Scripture. And can anyone tell me from last week the two reasons why the Scripture is the authoritative Word of God? Can anybody remember what's the two reasons? You can use your sheet if you have that. Right. The two reasons why we believe it's the authority, number one, is the testimony of Scripture itself, right? The testimony of Scripture itself. Over 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone, the Bible asserts that God spoke what is written within its pages. So 2,500 times just alone in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, the phrase Word of God is used some 40 times. So the testimony of Scripture itself declares its authority. The second reason why we believe in the authority of Scripture is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the Holy Spirit. That is, the Spirit must impart truth if we're going to ever understand the Bible and by faith accept it as the Word of God. We all know that the Bible is a spiritual book, and therefore the Spirit of God must open our minds and hearts if we are to receive it as the Word of God. Have you ever wondered why a brilliant person, such as a scientist, I mean, they're brilliant, but they're atheists? Have you ever thought about why that is true? It's because though they have great knowledge, they do not have the Holy Spirit imparting truth to them. Because without that, you're not going to be able to really understand the Word of God. So that's why you have men such as Richard Dawkins and these other atheists that are brilliant men, but they deny the Word of God, they deny the existence of God himself. And why? Because they try to understand it academically. But listen, you cannot do that. You've got to understand that the Scripture is a spiritual book first. And so that is the authority of Scripture. We looked at that last week. Well, the reason the Bible is the authoritative Word of God is because the Bible is divinely inspired. That's what we're looking at this morning, or this evening, the inspiration of God. Last Sunday we saw the authority of God's Word. This is the inspiration of God's Word. It comes from God Himself, and therefore it is inspired, and therefore the Bible is authoritative. On your handout, you should have the definition of inspiration. The doctrine of inspiration is the teaching that the Bible is God-breathed, and therefore our infallible rule of for faith and practice. And so if the Bible is simply the work of human imagination, then there is no compelling reason to follow its doctrines or moral guidelines, right? If we just understood that the Bible was just written by men and their reasoning was only man-made and so forth, there'd be really no reason to use it as a guide for life. But the Bible itself makes the bold claim to be God-breathed. And that's what our key verse is. Once again, 2 Timothy 3:16. Our key verse says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we notice two things regarding Scripture here in this particular verse. Number one, it is inspired by God. And because of that, it is therefore profitable, according to that verse, for Christian living. Now, there are a lot of objections as to why people deny the inspiration of Scripture. Some will say that God used fallible men to record Scripture, and because of that, Scripture cannot be infallible. It cannot be inerrant. But here's the thing. A person can draw a straight line with a crooked stick, right? A person can do that. Well, in the same way, God can use imperfect men to produce a perfect word. He can. And the most obvious example of this truth is the incarnation itself. I mean, the Bible tells us of the miraculous conception of the sinless Son of God in the womb of Mary. Well, guess what? Mary was a sinner, just like every other descendant of Adam is a sinner, and yet God used her to bring the sinless Savior into the world, right? So in the same way, God used human means to compose the Scripture without compromising the integrity of His revelation to us. And this is true even though He used various kinds of human effort in the writing process. For instance, whether Moses wrote the very words God told him to write or whether Moses prophetically from his own experience, it was all under divine inspiration. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1. For instance, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, also wrote the book of Acts. He wrote those two books based on personal research. Luke chapter number 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Luke said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account. Most excellent Theophilus. That you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So he says there in verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account. He sounds like a doctor, don't he? He was a doctor. But he wrote this based upon his personal research. Matthew and John wrote based on their firsthand experiences and their Spirit-inspired recollection of what was said and done. John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So how could they remember everything and account to all those experiences? The Holy Spirit gave them remembrance of those things. And then Paul, at times authoritatively, wrote down his personal opinion, and it was recorded in the Word of God. Remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote about marriage. And he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 25. He said, "Now concerning the unmarried, I have no command of the Lord. But," he said, "I give my opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy." Listen, the point is this. God used human means to compose His inerrant word. But at the same time, the Bible is not a product of fallible, sinful men. Rather, its very words is a product of the infallible Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Bible has authority because the Bible is inspired, divinely inspired. Now, when people speak of the Bible as inspired, they are referring to the fact that God divinely influenced the human authors of the Scriptures in such a way that they wrote what they wrote was the very Word of God. In the context of the Scriptures, the word inspiration simply means God breathed. Inspiration means the Bible truly is the Word of God, and therefore this makes the Bible unique among all other books. Now, there are different kinds of views as to the extent of the Bible being inspired. Let's look at the three major views of Bible inspiration. The three major views of Bible inspiration. The first view is the dictation theory of inspiration. The dictation theory of inspiration. That is, this sees God as the author of Scripture and the individual human agents as secretaries taking dictation. That is, God spoke and man wrote it down. That's the dictation theory. And this view has obviously some merit, since we know that there are portions of Scripture in which God essentially says, write it down, such as in Jeremiah 30 and verse 2. But guess what? Not all Scripture was created that way. Luke states that, as we talked about in the introduction to his gospel, that he performed a detailed research into the events of the life of Jesus before writing. Many of the prophetic books read like journals of the prophets' lives. The bottom line is that the dictation theory alone explains certain portions of Scripture, but not all of it, or even most of it. If you believe in the dictation theory of Scripture, here's the issue. You would not see the personal writings, the personal character, or the different personalities within the writings. For instance, you can tell the personality of the Gospel of John, and you can tell the personality of Peter's epistles. If it was all dictation, there would be no such personalities in Scripture. We see that. So that's the dictation theory of inspiration. Notice, secondly, there's a theory of limited inspiration. The theory of limited inspiration. This theory is the opposite view of dictation theory. It's the opposite view. Whereas the latter sees Scripture as primarily God's work with minimal human contribution, the former sees Scripture as primarily man's work with limited help from God. The theory of limited inspiration says that God guided the human authors, but allowed them freedom to express themselves in their works, even to the point of allowing factual and historical errors. Fortunately, if you believe in this particular view, the Holy Spirit prevented doctrinal errors. And so the problem with this view is that if the Bible is prone to error in its historical accounts, then how can you trust it in its doctrinal accounts, right? That's the problem with that limited inspiration. With limited inspiration, the reliability of the Bible is called into question. And then notice the final view, and the view of really Orthodox Christianity is a theory of plenary verbal inspiration. The verbal plenary inspiration. The word plenary means complete or full. And verbal means the, the very words of Scripture. So the plenary verbal inspiration view is that every single word in the Bible is the Word of God. It's not just the ideas or thoughts that are inspired, but the words themselves. And again, we get this out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it talks about that word inspired in the Greek means God breathed. It means God breathed. Also, we get this out of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Peter says, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through human spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so this passage right here gives us a clue as to how God inspired the authors. Men spoke or wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting that verb, carried along, is used to speak of a sail being filled with wind and carrying a boat along the water. And so when the human authors were putting pen to paper, the Holy Spirit of God carried them along so that what they wrote were the breathed out words of God. So while the writings retain the personality of the individual authors, Paul's style is different from that of James or John or Peter. The words themselves are exactly what God wanted written. And so the proper view of biblical inspiration is the orthodox, the traditional conservative view of the church, which says that the Bible is the verbal, plenary, inspired Word of God. Now, very quickly, I want to give you some evidences that the Bible is inspired. What are some evidences that the Bible is a God-breathed book? Well, first of all, number one, the first evidence is fulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy. God spoke to men telling them of things He would bring about in the future. Some of them have already occurred. Obviously, others have not. For example, there were more than 300 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ's first coming 2,000 years ago. 300 of those prophecies concerning Jesus Christ's first coming 2,000 years ago. And there is no doubt that these are prophecies from God because of manuscripts and scrolls dated before the birth of Christ. They were not written after the fact. They were written beforehand. Scientific dating proves this. So just the fulfilling of prophecies is an evidence of its inspiration, the Bible's inspiration. The second thing is the unity of Scripture. How do we know the Bible is inspired? Second of all, the unity of Scripture itself. The Bible was written approximately by approximately 40 human authors over a period of 1600 years. Listen, these men were quite diverse. Moses was a shepherd who became a political leader. Joshua, a military leader. David was a shepherd who became a king. Solomon, his son, became a king. Amos, the prophet, was a herdsman, and he worked in a fruit orchard. Daniel was a prime minister. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a medical doctor. Paul was a rabbi. Peter was a fisherman, among others. But the Bible was also written under a variety of circumstances. It was written on three different continents: Europe, Asia, Africa. So here's the thing, here's what I'm saying. Yet the great themes of Scripture are maintained in all of its writings. The Bible does not contradict itself. There's no way apart from God, the Holy Spirit supervising the writing of the Bible, that this could have been accomplished any other way other than by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. No other way. So unity of Scripture itself declares in evidence that the Bible is divinely inspired. Now you contrast this with the Islamic Quran. It was compiled by one individual. I won't even begin to pronounce his name. Under the guidance of Muhammad's father-in-law. Then in A.D. 650, a group of Arab scholars produced a unified version and then destroyed all variant copies to preserve the unity of the Quran. You think in contrast to that is the Bible was unified from the time of its writing. The Quran had to be unified through the editing of man. See the contrast there? The unity of Scripture itself tells us the Bible is divinely inspired. Thirdly, notice the Bible presents its heroes truthfully with all of their faults, with all of their weaknesses. It does not glorify men as other religions do about their heroes. When you read the Bible, you realize that the people it describes, they have problems and do wrong just as we do. What made them great was what they trusted in, and that was they trusted in God. One example is David. David is described as a man after God's own heart. Yet David, you know, committed adultery. David even was guilty of murder. Listen, this could have been left out of Scripture to hide these details of David's life, but God included these things. He included these things. And so we see just by this third evidence that the Bible presents its heroes truthfully with all their faults, which in doing so really elevates God Himself and who He is, and then puts us as man really at what we are, sinful men. Then the fourth reason, fourth evidence that the Bible is inspired is the archaeological findings. They support the history that is recorded in Scripture. Though many unbelieving people throughout history have tried to find archaeological evidence to disprove what is recorded in the Bible, they have failed. It is easy to say that Scripture is untrue. Proving it to be untrue is a different story. It has not been done. In fact, in the past, the Bible contradicted the current scientific theories, only to be proven later to be true, in fact true. And a good example is Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 22, which declared that God sits on the circle of the earth. You know, the long understanding throughout history of mankind, everybody thought the earth was flat, right? You know, Columbus was crazy to go try to sail to the Americas because he was going to fall off the world. That was the theory. That was what they all thought. But even the Bible itself, years before that, declared that the earth was round. It was a circle, long before scientists ever claimed that it actually was. And so those are the evidences that we see why we believe the Bible is inspired. You say, what's the importance of this? It's absolutely important. If you don't believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, you're never going to believe that the Bible is the ultimate authority, has ultimate authority. You've got to believe in the inspiration of Scripture. You have to believe that the Bible is a very unique book all by itself. There's no other book in history like the Bible. And remember, we discussed this last Sunday night, just the fact that we have a copy of God's Word is a gracious act of God. That God was so, in His love and care for us, revealed Himself to us in a revelation of words that we, sinful man, can know who He is. He did not have to do that. But because of love, He did. And whatever God does, we know that it's inspired and it carries itself, its authority. We're going to see next week that if God does this, if it's inspired, then guess what? It's inerrant. It's infallible. There's no errors in the Word of God. And so I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. These are very important things that we must nail down, this inspiration of the Scripture, that we don't believe it just because our mama, our daddy told us to believe it. We don't believe the Scripture because the preacher told you to. You believe it because what the Bible teaches of itself, that it is inspired. And so I pray that's a help to you. Encourage you to take those handouts home and to keep those and use those for your help at home.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to the Lord.